beauty and skincare is always a hot topic around here, and today I want to tell you about a new product line I've discovered that I think you will like, Exponent Beauty. Listeners of the show will receive 20% off their purchase. More details on that in a minute. Exponent Beauty is a skincare brand with a line of activated anti-aging serums that are clinically proven to reduce fine lines and wrinkles. The beauty of Exponent Beauty is their innovative form factor. The powders are activated with a quadruple hyaluronic acid serum in their patented precision-dosed dispenser. The packaging is gorgeous, and the dispenser itself is refillable, so it has also reduced plastic waste. Exponent Beauty's line of serums can be found in med spas, and dermatologists' office around the country. The line is dermatologist recommended and clinically proven to reduce those fine lines and wrinkles, and to increase brightness and radiance, and to firm skin without irritation. No more expired or underutilized products with Exponent Beauty, just high-quality skincare with ingredients that work. Go to exponentbeauty.com and use code TELL20 for 20% off a purchase of $100 or more. That's Exponent, E-X-P-O-N-E-N-T, Beauty, B-E-A-U-T-Y.com and use code TELL20, T-E-L-L, the numbers 20, for 20% off your purchase of $100 or more. Welcome to the 10 Things to Tell You podcast. I'm Laura Tremaine, and I always have at least 10 things to tell you. And you have 10 things to tell, because this is a show where we believe passionately that sharing yourself will make you less lonely. Michael Ann Smith is known online as the Nester, and I have followed her advice for 10 plus years on how to make a house a home. I have really embraced her mantra that it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. And so I am super excited to welcome her back to the show today, because she is always full of wisdom, always fun to talk to, and her new book, House Rules, is just exactly what I needed to read right now. So in this episode, we are going to talk through a few of the house rules from her new book that really stood out to me. Michael Ann Smith is the New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling author of Welcome Home and Cozy Minimalist Home, and her new book is called House Rules. Her previous homes have been featured in Better Homes and Gardens, Ladies Home Journal, and Cottages and Bungalows. She recently purchased and redecorated a 1905 Queen Anne Victorian home in Morganton, North Carolina, and it is the inspiration for her new book, House Rules. Mike Willen has never met a home that she didn't love. You can find Mike Willen online at thenester.com and on Instagram at thenester. Her new book, House Rules, comes out this week. I think you are going to love all the things that we talk about here, about loving our spaces, making them our own, and how following just a few simple house rules can bring you so much joy in the space where you spend the most time. Here's my conversation with Michael Ann Smith, also known as the Nester. Michael Ann, welcome back to 10 Things to Tell You.
Oh my goodness, Laura. I am so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I have known you for so long, and I've also taken your advice for so long that I just love getting to actually chat with you.
Oh, this makes me so happy. You know, one of the things that I don't like about the fact that we've known each other, but I've never been to your house, and I really, really would love to see your house, because when you show it on Instagram, like little snippets, it's amazing.
Okay, but you know I show its best side. If you were actually here, I would be nervous. I'd be like, oh no, is she judging every corner?
No! Do not ever. I would never be judging. It's just such an honor to be in. I just want to be in every house in America. Is that too much to ask? Actually, every house in the world. Is that too much to ask? It's so interesting.
The bar is high, but I know you wouldn't be judgy. I just mean, like, I would feel like nervous. Oh, no. Someone who is so good at this would be looking at my house. It always makes me nervous. But for those who are listening who might not know why I am somewhat fanning out here on the microphone with you. Please just tell us a little bit about who you are and how you came to be writing your newest book, House Rules.
Well, my name is Mikewilyn Smith. It has a Q in it. It's so weird. And when I started on the internet way back in 2007, I just thought it was full of Unabombers and that I should not use my very unique name. So I went by the Nester. This true story, I wanted to be able to leave a comment on Pioneer Woman's blog without it being that ghost gravatar. So I started a blog solely so that I could be a part of the online community and leave comments on other people's blogs. And I was like, well, I guess I can talk about home because that's really all that I care about and the only thing I'm obsessed with. And since then, I've been talking about home ever since. I am an imperfectionist. I'm a cozy minimalist. My husband and I have been married almost 30 years. This is our 15th house. We've lived in lots of houses. So I've had lots of practice. I did drop out of design school after a year. So I definitely have a big background in design, but I learned the hard way. I learned by, moving from one house to another and wondering why in the world the mirror that looked so good over my mantle in the last house looks ridiculous in this house, and the Enneagram 5 in me wanting to figure out why. And that's what I did. And I'm still talking about home. And I just want to help everyone create the home they've always wanted so that they can use it the way they've always dreamed.
You said so many interesting things in the last 30 seconds. I could follow 100 rabbit trails. But what I just want to say here is that it's so funny to me that so many of our blogging days, they all point back to the Pioneer Woman.
It's like the tree trunk of our family history, I think.
It really is. If we could all get in a room, I could be like, well, when I saw that the Pioneer Woman was doing this.
Yeah. Thank you, Ree.
God, we love you, Ree, forever and ever. She handed us our careers, I feel like, in some way. She really was a pioneer and not in the way that she originally meant that word. But I love everything that you just said, especially about how you've lived in 15 homes with your husband and you've had to figure out in each one why something worked and why something didn't. And because I am in a new to us house, it's not actually that new. It's almost been 3 years, Mikewilyn. It's almost been 3 years. And I am still figuring it out. And I'm really still figuring it out. Like, I'm kind of more at square one than I wish I was. And I'm a little bit actually sad about it and have almost even some shame around it because our house that we moved from, which was also in Los Angeles, we didn't change cities or anything, but the house that we moved from, I had dialed it all the way in. Like, by the time we sold it and decided to move for some logistical reasons, where my kid's school was and some things like that, I loved that house and I had gotten it just how I wanted it. And then we moved to this new house and I thought, oh, I'll be able to do that here. It has been so much harder. And things are different. Life is different. My kids are bigger. I'm working more. There's a lot of factors. It's a totally different style of house. There's a lot of different factors here. But I'm just going to say to you in the world that I have felt a little bit lost in this house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is 100% normal. And I think, to me, it's more surprising if someone can move in and then instantly decorate everything and never want to change it. Just this week, I think Shay McGee from McGee & Co. put out a YouTube video about the house that she built, I think back in 2020, I want to say it was during COVID. This is her entire job. She has like 4 million followers on Instagram. She helps people design their homes and she just redesigned like the front of her house. And for me, that was so encouraging to say, even Shay McGee needs time. You know, when we make new friends, we can't just jump in. We've had friends before. Why can't we just, no, it's a whole new house. I have lived in my house almost 2 years. I have repainted my office a couple of times. Like, I am just, and I had a budget because I had a book deal and needed to take pictures. It was my entire job to get this house ready. And it is, and I still, you can't rush it. I am getting to know her. She has her own style and personality, and it just takes time. And instead of feeling bad about that, I feel like I'm finally, after 15 houses, saying, oh, this is actually good. Like, there's no shame in that. This is the way it's supposed to work. And why don't I just enjoy the process instead of feeling stupid about it?
Except what if you have a ticking stopwatch in your mind? Because for me, my ticking stopwatch, I made that phrase up. I don't know if that's a word, but I don't want to say ticking time bomb. That's why. But anyway, the reason that I am constantly doing a countdown is because as a mom, which I know you relate to, you're also a mother, I'm sort of doing this countdown of, I only have my kids under my roof for X many years. And so I don't want to be in a state of renovation. I want the home to feel cozy in this time, even if it's not perfect. Like, I'm doing this sort of math in my head a lot of the time, that it feels like to get to know the house or wait it out feels like a luxury, a time luxury that I do have, by the way, but I feel like I don't have.
I know exactly what you mean. I'll say two things. First of all, my kids all grew up, well, my youngest is a senior in college, and two of my boys moved back home to start a business. They are here again. So we never know. I think we think like, oh, those 18 summers and then we're done. But I also want to tell you this, the memories, at least that I have of my parents' home, 99% or as an adult, when I go to my parents' house now, that's what I think. Do you know what I mean? It's my childhood homes definitely shaped me, but it's the experience of my parents' homes now that has just as much of an impact. There is still so much time. And having a house, I know what you mean. Like, you don't want to not have a kitchen. But our kids reflect our, how we feel about it. And if we can just kind of laugh it off, I've realized it really does set the tone for the whole house. You can have a great Christmas, even if you have plastic walls up because you're having a room redone. Ask me how I know, because we've done it.
I'm actually glad you said that, because I feel like I'm sort of self-aware about this in other aspects of my parenting, but for some reason, when we're talking about our home, if I ever say anything critical about our house, like, ugh, this empty corner is so random, or like, we have sort of a push and pull fight about where the Christmas tree should go every year. Just whenever I say anything that is a little critical of our home, both of my kids sort of jump to the defense of the house. Like, they're just like, what do you mean? Like, we love this room, or it doesn't matter, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it always sort of stops me to be like, oh, they're not seeing the house the way I am. They're kids. Yeah. They want it to feel good. You know, they want it to be safe or whatever. You know what I mean? But they're just not looking at it with a Pinterest eye. They're not.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
And that's so important. I need to remember that. So I'm glad you said that. Y'all know that I love to play games on my phone to unwind, and I am always looking for a new one to download. And I recently ran across Two Dots, and I want to tell you about it. Two Dots is a free to download puzzle-based game that involves connecting dots through relaxing puzzles while unlocking levels and collecting prizes along the way. There are different gameplay modes to make the experience unique and exciting with every single puzzle. There are over 5,000 distinct puzzles with various power-ups and special dots ready to earn as you move through the levels. The in-app music and visually stimulating interface provide a soothing experience when you just want to relax and unwind. Not only is Two Dots free to download, but it can also be played without internet connection. So playing on the go offline is a breeze. And if you don't want to play alone, you can challenge your friends on Facebook, as well as connect with the larger Two Dots community for even more engagement. If you're looking for the perfect game to help you relax but also keep you engaged, download Two Dots for free on Android and iOS. It's not every day that you find a product that you truly love and want to shout about from the rooftops. Well, friends, I have found something that I am genuinely excited to share with you today, and that is Born Shoes. Born Shoes are made with the best top quality leather with functional stitching and flexibility. They are lightweight, but they're also supportive. They are great for all casual occasions, extremely comfortable, and especially good for travel. The brand recently gifted me a pair of the Ithaca style sandals. Of course, they are beautiful. The footbed has extra foam for added comfort and with a slight heel for lift. I am positive that I could walk all over London in this pair of shoes just like I did in my Bourne sandals last summer. Bourne Shoes offers sandals, flats, boots, and heels in several styles and color choices. Take comfort in Bourne Shoes. Every season, they make high-quality shoes that feel as good as they look. With artistic touches, unparalleled craftsmanship, and exquisite materials, Bourne designs shoes to satisfy the demands of every lifestyle. Go to BourneShoes.com for a 15% discount plus free ground shipping on all full-price shoes when you use my promo code TELL. That's Bourne, B-O-R-N, Shoes, S-H-O-E-S.com, and use promo code TELL, T-E-L-L, for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for a limited time. Okay, your new book, House Rules, is stunningly gorgeous. Okay, this is the coffee table book that everyone needs. It's like a book you would put on display. It's so beautiful. I do think it's funny that it's called House Rules when you have really publicly stated you don't really like rules.
Hate them. Hate rules. It's true. You know, I don't know if you read Andrew Peterson's book. He writes music. He's a creative. But he says, he has a quote in one of his books about having to learn the right to break the rules. And that was so helpful to me because I believe that. And I think that a lot of us want to have our own style, whether it's in what we're wearing or in our home or whatever, you know, we're artists, we're creatives. But I think what gives us confidence to do that is when we break the rules because we know that the end result's going to be better, not because we don't know better, not because we're clueless to the rules, but because we're like, yes, I am confidently breaking that rule. And that's really why we called this House Rules, because I want to give, it's like 100 really quirky, dumb, memorable truths. Like, contrast is queen if you want to be seen. Like, some of them rhyme. They don't all rhyme, but they're easy to remember and applicable. And then you can get up and change something in your house and it looks better. But then you also, the first rule is to learn the rules and break them beautifully with confidence. Because that's really the whole goal, Laura, is just for us to love our house so much that we can kind of forget about it and just use it and enjoy it.
Okay, well, I'm glad you said that because I picked a few of the rules that stood out to me, just four of them that I kind of wanted you to unpack and explain that I really feel like the listeners will, first of all, get a vibe of what the book is. And then also they'll just be able to learn from these things. And the first one I want to talk about is kind of related to what you just mentioned. And actually even just what I mentioned about my sort of the way the kids feel about the house. And I'm skipping around in numbers because this one is number 96. But number nine, that's where we're starting with number 96, which is home is a feeling. Mm, yeah. And when I read that, I was like, oh, I think I needed to hear that.
Doesn't that just feel right when we hear that? I think we think that home, I don't know, like, especially in this visual age, we're like, home is everything that we see. It's all visual. And one of the things that, especially when I teach about decorating for the seasons, you know, I feel like we neglect all of our other senses, the sense of smell, which is the most powerful. Like, if a room stinks when you walk in, it doesn't matter how good it looks. You will not be able to get past the smell. And the same thing if it smells like your grandmother's house or whatever it is. And the texture, the feel, the warmth, what we hear, all of those things. And so we ultimately, as people creating homes and spaces, we're creating environments. And not to quote another person, but I'm going to, James Clear in Atomic Habits, he says, environment is the invisible hand that shapes human behavior. I mean, that is like my mantra. We can control people with, I mean, that's me paraphrasing, but with the environments we create, we can make people feel happy. We can make people feel loved. We can make people feel connected just by adding throw pillows and comfy seating and lighting and situating it in a way that we can forget everything else and just connect. And that is how powerful creating the feeling of home is. Doesn't matter how much money you do or don't have. It doesn't matter whose name is on the mortgage. It doesn't matter if you're in another country or if you're moving next year or what the situation is. You can create the feeling of home.
Yes. I so agree. I'm so glad that you said all of that because I needed the reminder, even though I know it. And in some ways, I preach this a little bit, not from a design standpoint, but like when I am encouraging people to like journal or be introspective. And I'm really encouraging them to notice. Notice is like my big buzzword. I am often talking about spaces, like notice your space. What do you love about it? What do you not? How do you feel in it? What are your favorite spaces? Like this is a thing I talk about. And so to have gotten a little discombobulated with it myself has sort of thrown me for a loop. And so this is such a good conversation for me, because you also say in the book, this isn't one of the rules, but you also talk about understanding why we love or don't love our spaces. How do we understand that? Like, I can't always name it.
You can't always name. And it's so funny because I think so much of what you and I and so many people, whether someone's teaching about cooking or style, we all kind of travel the same path to figure out how to do the creative endeavor. And it's exactly what you teach, which is really the first job of making decisions and designing your home is paying attention. Our homes are talking to us. If you go in your living room every night and you scoot the little end table closer, and then the light is too bright and you're moving the lampshade, and then you move the decorative pillow to get your real comfortable pillow, that is your house talking to you. All those little arguments that we have, like, oh, that's in my way, or I'm running into things, like, our house is talking to us 1,000 times a day. Are we paying attention? When you are in a room that feels so right, pay attention. What is the light like? Where are you sitting in the room? Mm. Is it an enclosed space? Is it an open space? Like, paying attention gives us clues to all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, so true. Okay. Here's one of the other rules that I wanted to ask you about, because this one's more logistical than like philosophical. And I need you to tell me what you mean. Number 50 is drapes cover the wall, not the window.
Yes.
What?
Okay. So in the world of window treatments, which I really am not qualified, there are people that go to school so they can have a career in like custom window treatments. It is an entire career path. So this, we're very just going to scratch the surface, but there are two types of window treatments. There are functional window treatments, your shutters, like, so you can walk naked in the bathroom and no one's going to see you. Your functional window treatments, like drapes that are privacy lined and that you can close because the sun is shining. But then a lot of us, I would say most of us in our home, have decorative window treatments or decorative drapes. So maybe we have blinds on the window, but we don't just want blinds on the window. We want to soften it with like pattern or color or texture. So we buy drapes to hang on the wall. Do you hear that? We don't hang drapes necessarily over the window. A drape that is hung correctly is actually honoring the light from the window and not blocking it, unless it's working on its 9-to-5 job, which is like, you know, protecting from a glare or privacy or any of that. When it's off duty, it should be open and covering the walls, not the window. That's why they say, you see these little things on Pinterest, hang your drapes high and wide. And when you do, the fabric of the drape itself is actually literally not blocking any light. It's over the wall itself, which, as you're decorating your room, when you realize that your drapes are covering the wall, it changes the size of wall that you have to work with, which really helps us when we're working in the order of decor. There's a right order to do everything. And so it can be really helpful. A lot of times we'll move into a house. I feel like every single house I moved into, they hung the drapes on a rod that was like 1 inch higher than the molding around the window and not any wider. So we were like, oh my gosh, this house has beautiful light, but they hung their Target drapes over the window, hiding it. No, it's just like our hair. Like, our hair is not meant to cover our face. Our hair is meant to like enhance our face and to add our style, but we're not covering our face with our hair.
Mm. Okay. I think that I've done windows wrong 14 times. I mean, I've done them wrong. I mean, I fixed it usually if I have the effort, but I have definitely done windows wrong and have learned why. Like, either my, you know, someone I have has pointed it out to me, my contractor has helped me, my contractor, like, he's like, I think this is wrong. Because it, and it does make a huge difference. Like a few inches wider or higher does make a huge difference to the function, actually, also, because we, as we were talking about, the light that the room lets in or whatever, if you have hung your drapes wrong, it's obscuring that. Or, yeah, all the ways that it can go wrong. I've done most of them. And so same. I just wanted you to explain that one. When I read that one, I was like, oh, I need to know. That's one we all need to know. With sunshine, outdoor activities, and so many fun things to do outside, it is impossible not to enjoy all of these good weather days up ahead. Of course, we all know that more sun and fun means more sweating, and yes, more odor. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Lumi. Lumi is the first of its kind in the full body deodorant world and is seriously safe to use on any and every part of your body. It was created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how regular body odor was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. I especially love that Lumi deodorant is baking soda and paraben free. It is also pH balanced for safe use on all areas of your body. You can choose from a variety of fresh scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, and toasted coconut. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like a mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code U at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi, L-U-M-E, deodorant, deodorant.com and use code U, Y-O-U.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The other one that I wanted to bring up, only because I have a bit of a personal connection to it, number 58 is the art of the mirror is what it reflects.
Yes, I was hoping you would say that one.
Yes. Okay, so I had your sister, your beautiful sister, Emily P. Freeman, came to LA for work, and she came to my house. I was so happy to have her visit my house. And there is a mirror in my living room that I purposefully hung to reflect this big piece of art that I have. And it's a very dramatic piece of art. It's a painting of a girl, a young girl with like pigtails. And so the mirror sort of reflects her eyeballs. It's some people think that it's like a little bit creepy because the mirror has like her eyeballs in it. I love it. And I actually sort of did it as a joke. Well, there were two reasons I put that mirror there. One was because it's a mirror that lights up. That sounds weird. Yeah. But it's a lit mirror. Like it has light. It has lights within it.
Okay.
And so it needed to be on a wall that had electrical. So first of all, there was a bit of a function here. And it's like a small wall. So I was limited with where I could put a mirror like that. But then secondly, when I saw that it reflected the eyeballs from the art, I thought it was funny. Like I almost did it as a joke, but people comment on it all the time. And when Emily was here, she was like, I have to take a picture of this because my sister will love it. And then she posted it. It was very cute. And so I wanted to just say that. And but then I did it, like I said, sort of as a joke and also because it was functionally working for me. But what is like the overarching rule of that about mirrors?
Well, your example that she posted was like the best example of that I have ever seen and enjoyed. And I think adding like levity, adding a lighthearted, whimsical sense, especially with a really nice, interesting piece of art, like what a great way to experience it twice. Like you got even more for your money, even more. You get to enjoy your investment over on this wall and on this wall. So I just love that use of it. But I think a lot of us, I'm a mirror girl. I love mirrors because they can reflect the work I have already done. I'm real finicky about wall art anyway. But I think sometimes when we pick out a mirror, we're so focused on the frame. Like, let me get the cool Anthropologie frame that everyone has, or, you know, it's gold or it's a circle or whatever, that we forget that the whole job of the mirror is reflection. And so many, many times I will see someone put a mirror, beautiful mirror, on their mantle, and it's kind of, you know, leaning, you don't always have to hang it. But what it's reflecting is their dusty old ceiling fan that I know they would never buy, like an oil painting of a ceiling fan. But when you are reflecting your ceiling fan in a framed piece of mirror, you actually might as well be framing a picture of a ceiling fan. And so we have to keep in mind that we can use the fact that the art of the mirror is what it reflects, for good or for evil, in our homes. And so we want to reflect something that we want to see twice. And we can take it as far as you did and like say, not only is it something I'm okay seeing twice, but something I would prefer and love and like get to kind of experience in a unique way that's going to get, you know, people commenting on it. So way to go. I think that's wonderful. I even took a screenshot of it. Hope that's not too creepy.
No, I do love it. And it made me laugh that we were all posting it, because it was it's like a funny part of my house. But if you don't have a big painting of a girl with pigtails in your house, like when you're deciding where to place the mirror, like let's use this mantle example that you just used with the dusty ceiling fan.
Yes.
Would you then just not put a mirror on the mantle then? You decorate in a different way if that's what a mirror is going to naturally reflect there?
Oh, all kinds of, you can do all kinds of things. First of all, I would say if you have something in your living room that you hate, if you hate your ceiling fan, you can, sometimes we just become house blind and it takes seeing it again in a reflection to be like, oh my gosh. Why do I could just switch out my ceiling fan. Now, sometimes for some reasons, maybe you live in a hot climate and you need your ceiling fan, but you don't want to see it twice. Well, maybe you will change your ceiling fan a little bit, or maybe you'll just say, instead of the mirror leaning against the mantle so it reflects the ceiling fan, you can wire it and you can actually have your mirror tilting down a little bit and it will reflect your coffee table and what's happening in the room. It's a very interesting look. I feel like they used to do it, in the olden days, more than we do now. And so it's even better than hanging it flat. Hanging it flat is great. It's probably not going to reflect your ceiling as much, but leaning it a little bit, especially if you have a higher mantle, is going to give you such a cool perspective. If, say, you have a beautiful view, or I have a big foyer and a double front doors in our house. And so I have a huge mirror in there. It's really helpful because if you're running in or out, you can just check what your outfit is real quick, but it reflects, depending on where you're sitting, it reflects different parts, which I think is it helps like bounce the light around. It's a really dark foyer. And so it almost gives me an extra pair of double doors. I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but it literally does, because it's reflecting that.
Yeah. I mean, I've never had to like do this in my own home, but I've like heard people talk about how a mirror can make a room feel bigger, you know, which is just what you're describing too. Like it maybe can bring more light in, like you're saying, bounce some light in. But yeah, I think that mirrors have a lot more function than I give them credit for, because I don't think about it in the way that you do. Which, why do you think that people, like, I knew this theoretically, but have never put it into action, except obviously I did in my living room. But in general, I don't think about it like that. What do you think holds people back from hearing these things, seeing these examples on Pinterest, picking up a beautiful book like yours, and they can be like, oh, like, this is so great for them that they're able to do this, but we aren't able to do it ourselves?
I'm so glad you asked that. No one ever asked that question. I think it's because we don't pinpoint what it is that we just think, I like their room. They were born with a decorating gene. We don't say that room is interesting because the eyes are reflecting in the mirror. Do you know what I mean? And so that's what I love to like pull it apart and say, here's 100 different things you could try in your house. We just assume that people stumbled upon this. Oh, they moved in their house. They picked, you know, a sofa, a rug, tchotchkes, plants, and boom, it looked great. No. The skill of decorating, which I believe anyone can learn, it is making great decisions in the right order, is actually about troubleshooting. It's knowing what to do when it doesn't look right, knowing what to do if you want a bold style and it doesn't look bold, or if it it doesn't feel like your personal style, or if it doesn't feel interesting, now what? When you bought everything on your coffee table and you loved, and you still love each individual item, but together they look crazy. Now what do you do? Mm-hmm. That is where the skill is.
It just all comes back to intention a little bit, or like paying attention, like you said, of, I can also be guilty of seeing a beautiful room, either a picture of it or being in one, and then just being like, well, they lucked out here or something. Or just thinking, this is so unapproachable to me. It's so well done that I just don't even, I don't feel like I could imitate this in any way. I'm not even sure how to pick it apart to understand what I love about it. I get almost not defeated, because that's like a really dramatic word, but like I sort of just get like, well, I mean, I could never do this. It's like when you see someone in like a perfectly curated outfit also.
Right.
But they wear it so casually and you're just like, well, I could never look like that. When you certainly could take some elements of whatever it is you like about it and apply it to your own wardrobe.
I totally agree. And I think those people that we see like that and we're like, oh, they got it together. They were born with a style, or they were born with, you know, decorating. I think the truth is, I don't really believe most people were born with something. I think they just started practicing a lot earlier than us. And they made mistakes and took risks and kind of learned those underlying universal truths that were all, we don't know exist, and they don't know to tell us they exist, because they played around with their Converse tennis shoes and their cutoff jeans and their fitted blouse when they were in high school, when it didn't matter, when they felt the freedom, yes, not as an adult. And so now as adults, that's my whole job, is I want to teach you, when you look at your mantle and you're like, sheesh, I bought everything up there, why does it look stupid? Well, maybe you can look at house rules and read that contrast is queen if you want to be seen. And you look at your white mantle with a white wall, with your white art and your white vase, and you say, oh, I have no contrast. Or, oh, I'm not nailing that scale. I have a big king size bed and I have a little dorm room lamp next to it. And so you can think about the fact that everything in your room is in a relationship together. And there are little crazy little rules that apply no matter what your style, no matter what your budget, no matter what kind of house you live in, that can help you make better, more confident decisions.
Man, I'm loving this conversation. Okay. The one that I want to end on, the rule that I want to end on, is actually rule number two. So I definitely like started at the end and we are ending at the beginning, but I really love it because it goes to a lot of things that we're talking about, but I sort of just wanted you to explain what you mean by it, which is number two, is find a mindset you can model.
Oh yeah. I think when we are following, let's say we follow house people on Instagram that have beautiful homes that we're like, I want to learn from them. We have to remember there are different types of people to learn from. First of all, there is the influencer, which I love following influencers. I want them to never stop. This pillow behind me I got because of an influencer saying, here it is in my house and here's a link. I love that. And a lot of times an influencer provides inspiration that I can kind of pull from and imitate. And that's fantastic. But there are also other types of ways that I can learn from people I follow on Instagram or whatever, a book, a TV show, whatever it is, that it's not as much me trying to copy their style, but it's me trying to adopt a mindset. And that's really where I am, because I'm not trying to teach people how to have my style. I don't care if you like my style or not. I want you to like your style. So it's very hard in a creative endeavor to try to teach something when maybe your style isn't for the masses, because I think we've been trained to think, well, I can only learn from people whose style is just like mine. But the truth is, some of my favorite, like I follow a lot of girls that are YouTubers that do wardrobe style, closet makeovers. And I will tell you, I will turn on the YouTube video in my closet as I'm maybe cleaning out a drawer, and I let the video play, and they're talking about, you know, a specific blouse, but I'm not looking at their blouse. I'm looking at my blouse, and I'm their words about what they figure out of how to decide if a blouse is working for them helps me decide if my blouse is working for me. I don't want to go buy the one they have. I want to learn how to know if I have the right stuff and how to get the stuff that I love. And so I am about teaching a mindset. I'm not teaching you how to get my style. You don't have to like my style in order for you to learn from me. I want you to help mm-hmm. you like your style. And that's what universal decorating truths do about contrast and scale and order and size and just your whole mindset as you approach a room. Decorating really does start in your head. It doesn't start with a link or in the furniture store. You probably are way, way, way ahead of the game than you think, but you want to find someone. You know, when you're looking for someone to encourage you in an area, I like to look for someone doing the thing I want to do in the way I want to do it. It doesn't have to be exactly, but if you want to love your home, if you want to feel like you can volunteer your home for the baby shower or the gathering or whatever it is, if you want to feel confident in decisions you make, I am doing that. Do I 100% get it right? Do I have a big budget? Do I, you know, is my house perfect? Nope, it's not. If that's your goal, I'm not your person. But if you want to move forward and be happy in your home, that's what I am. And that's the kind of person that I want to help. So it's all about that mindset that you can model.
That is like a life lesson too, though. Also, when you're seeking out people to learn from, that you are seeking out a mindset you can model because it feels good to you. It aligns with your values.
Yeah.
Or your taste, not your taste, meaning you want to immediately copy them, like yeah. you're saying, but your taste of like the way that you're thinking about it, mm-hmm. or, you know, there's something about whatever it is that they're doing, even if it's not exactly yours, that you do want to sort of mimic. I love this. And this has changed for me over our years on the internet, to bring it back to us being on the internet all this time, of like the people that you're learning from, mm-hmm. the people that become your teachers, that may change over time. And also, like, we're paying attention to our homes, paying attention to who we're listening to, because I think that this can cause a lot of discontent. If we started following people when we first bought a new house or when we first built a house or something, because we were really starting from scratch, let's say, and we just get in the habit of following that person and they're really talking to people who are starting from scratch, and you're 10 years down the road and now you're trying to figure out how to live in your house now with bigger kids and a different lifestyle and whatever, maybe we need to learn from people who are more like you, who are like, I'm trying to make a house work for a family. You know, I'm not starting from scratch. I already own things. I need to shop my own house. That all of the things that you talk about, it is really important that we pay attention to who we're learning from, pay attention to who is in our ear about it, that we're not feeling discontent when we scroll or when we seek resources, that we feel like inspired and empowered. And I think you do that so well. And so will you please tell the listeners where they can find your new book, House Rules, and also where they can just find you online anywhere?
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, House Rules releases April 23rd, everywhere books are sold. I am on the internet all the time, although I do take breaks, talking about home. I've never met a home I didn't love. I believe every home has a silver lining. I'm on Instagram at The Nester, online at thenester.com. I have a private community where I teach about home every single week. I have a podcast called House Rules. I just love, and I've never gotten tired of learning about our home and how we live in it. I just think it's the most interesting topic there is.
Well, you're one of my favorite people to learn from. We will link everything in the show notes, y'all, so that you do not have to worry about any of that. And you will want to go find The Nester if you're not already following her and buy her new book, House Rules, comes out April 23rd. Thank you for being here and talking us through all of this.
Thanks for having me. It was really fun.
So fun.